The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, Shasta County. I say that with the disclaimer that I am pre-recording this show because my daughter and her 4x1 team at Foothill High School made it to the CIF State Track and Field Finals in Fresno. So I'm pre-recording this on Thursday. So anything that happened in the late news cycle of Thursday, Friday, or Saturday will not be included in this. But I just wanted to make sure I gave that disclaimer then, because who knows what may happen and it may not be covered. But it's very bittersweet, actually, because I'm super excited to watch my daughter compete at the highest level with boys and girls from all across the great state of California compete. They are not going there with the intention to win at all. 4x1 is one of the most competitive. I mean, they're all competitive events, but, you know, when it comes to the state finals of track in California, you know, many states have various divisions, you know, even up to 6 divisions in some states, where in California you have one long distance, or you have one, you know, 4x1 team champion or one shot put champion, and it's not broken down by division. So when you win a state title in track and field in California, you truly are one of the best in the nation by far. And we do have some other athletes, of course, across the section that are competing, and some have a really legitimate shot to podium, possibly even win. I know Enterprise has a 4x1 team that is great, as well as an 800 runner. So we wish all of them the best of luck. And by the time you hear this on Sunday morning, that will be over. So I would encourage you to look up athletic.net and see the results of the local people. And the reason it was bittersweet is because also the 3-on-3 tournament, which is a phenomenal family-focused event, and it's a reunion of many sorts for many younger and older local hoopers. So make it out to the Civic today. Sunday is always Championship Sunday. So most of the games are elimination games on Sunday out at the Civic, so that's happening. It's going to be hot. Weather NorCal always has the up-to-date weather report, and it's going to be roughly in the low hundreds, 104, I believe, on Sundays today. And I want to also take this moment to tell everybody thank you who reached out with just so many positive messages, whether in writing or just phone calls or texts about my wife being on a couple weeks ago. That was by far the most, I would say, engagement I had from people that either I knew or didn't know that just reached out and said they really appreciated, her coming on and sharing a few things. And we will do that again in the future. It's not something that we really, like I had said, planned, but go back and listen to it. You can always see the archives at votekevincry.com, or you can always look on Facebook for any kind of updates as well. So we had quite a week this past week, and I'm going to hit on some of that. But you know, I'm going to stay on the theme of track and field. If you are tracking President Trump, and actually I'll just read something that he put out. And this is I won't even read the entire thing. I'll just talk a little bit about it. So this is one of the things I'm excited about. By the time you've listened to this, I would have already witnessed what transpired in the triple jump. My daughter actually finished 5th in the section, didn't remotely make it to state, but she is a triple jumper. And the top triple jumper in the state right now is a transgender athlete. It's a boy who is now identifying as a female who has the top distance going into the state meet. And President Trump, bottom line, just, and here I'll read this. It's just, this is part of his quote that says, "Please be hereby advised that the large scale federal funding will be held back, maybe permanently, if the executive order on this subject matter is not adhered to. The governor himself said it is unfair," and unfair is in quotes. "I will speak to him today to find out which way he wants to go. In the meantime, I am ordering local authorities, if necessary, to not allow the transition person to compete in the state finals. This is totally ridiculous. This is a totally ridiculous situation." So I know that the governor or the Department of Justice or the CIF reversed course, and some of the female athletes who are eliminated from being able to compete at the state finals were now invited to compete And so it's interesting because I know, as Governor Newsom said in his podcast, he thought it was greatly unfair for transgender athletes to compete. And you don't ever really see the outrage, right, of a transgender female. I'm sorry, transgender female who is competing as a male, because there is no advantage. Like, if anything, you're at a huge disadvantage. But going the other direction of a male becoming a female, it's a huge advantage with bone density, muscle density, VO2 max. You can go on and on. I mean, it's completely scientific. It's not like it's conjecture or opinion. And so it'll be interesting to see how this ultimately plays out, not just in this state, but in many others, because when executive orders come down, and so much is always driven by money. And sticking on that topic of money and in government, a couple other things came out that Elon Musk, you know, he announced that his role as a special government employee is nearing an end. You know, Doge is exiting stage left for now. And, you know, what an amazing collection of corruption that we've seen come to light and where money went. And do I think it's over? No. Do I think both sides do it? Yes, absolutely. But it will be interesting to see where these dominoes, how they continue to fall over the next year or so. You know, Musk, you know, made the statement that he's going to, you know, possibly get out of politics and stop giving. And, of course, all of a sudden, you know, people on the right were all of a sudden, you know, that maybe had campaign donations from him were taken aback, but that he's maybe not going to be involved anymore. And I can't imagine. I mean, I know at a very local level, kind of what I and others have been through who've chosen to step into the fray. And again, this fray wasn't created by this board or many of us that are actually in politics today. I mean, this was really swirling in 2020. And by the time many of us came into it in, you know, late 22 or 23 or 24, 25, maybe people that just got elected, I mean, it has already been going. And, you know, as we have budget meetings or budget hearings coming up and we talk about the dollar, I mean, it's not just a local thing when it comes to money. I mean, let's move over to Canada as we're staying on, you know, money and international or national topics. I mean, again, I'm going to pull a quote of Trump's, and this is about Canada and becoming the 51st state. And, you know, and so Trump says, and I quote, "I told Canada, which very much wants to be part of our fabulous Golden Dome system, that it will cost $61 billion if they remain a separate but unequal nation, but will cost $0 if they become our cherished 51st state. They are considering the offer." Now, you know, I won't say that they're considering it legitimately. I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody in Canada. But, you know, I am curious. I am curious to see where some of that goes. I mean, how does Canada pay for that? And who wouldn't want to be protected by our U.S. military? But there's a cost. So, you know, we'll see as these tariffs and everything else that's unpacking at a very expensive level for many nations, where everybody ends up, because so many things are driven by the almighty dollar. And it's really, you know, it's really unfortunate. When we look at some of the things that happen on a local level around the dollar and how that is, you know, spent or not invested in local things. One of the things that I have been working on a lot lately is this the veteran issue that Supervisor Plummer brought forth. And, you know, this wasn't my item. This was his item. You know, he had said that he had written a paper, I believe it was 8 years ago, or has been working on this topic roughly 8 years ago. And when I started to get some messages or pushback from different groups that who felt they weren't involved, it really you know, took me aback, honestly, to think that, like, I'll just give you one example, that, like, Nation's Finest, who does arguably the most work in this space for veterans and homelessness of any organization, wasn't invited to that table. And so when we look at, you know, money and time and as it relates to staff and allocation of resources, you think, geez, like, how was that not the first call? But again, we have a very limited number of dollars in this community, and how we spend it or invest it, I think needs to continually be looked at. And if we're not doing that, we're really just doing a really bad job. People can say a lot of words, they can put a lot of time in, but you know, in the real world of private business, you know, you get paid for done, you get paid for completed, you get paid for forward motion. And that's one thing that I'm very, very strongly advocating for, and all the different things we're looking at, whether it's the alternative custody program, the medical school, any type of fire mitigation efforts, anything that we're doing, I want to see forward movement. I want to see things moving forward where we can say, okay, we've spent this much. This is how much farther it's gone down the tracks. And I think the accountability along the way is a huge thing. One of the things too that we had this last week in this last meeting was we had an item about the strategic plan, and we had an item come up about having an RFP as it relates to and the board decided, like, hey, let's have an outside entity come in and get community involvement or community input about the strategic plan, which I'm still in favor of, but I'm a little less in favor of it when we talk about what we're going to spend on it, because I think what a lot of times some of these things are, and again, this isn't the political popular thing to say, but I think all the supervisors up there know what's important to the public, and if you don't, I think you're pretty out of touch. But okay, so it's like, yeah, let's do this community thing to get the public's input. Not that we don't want to hear it. I'll just talk for me. Not that I don't want to hear it, but I don't want to spend a bunch of money on it, because also a lot of the people that I would want to pull, I would love just to go down to a little league field, or you know, a sand volleyball court, or the river trail, or you know, maybe in the middle of, you know, Rayleigh's, which is in District 1, or, you know, pick a shopping center, you know, Save Mart or Sprouts or Winco, whatever, and just talk to the average person who's in the middle of their day shopping and get their opinion, because a lot of times these organizations, you know, it's the same 50 or 75 people that want to come and put a post-it note on a board to make them feel like, well, my input's valuable, and I'm gonna put this sticky note up there, because a lot of people that go to those workshops and things have a lot of extra time on their hands, and that doesn't always represent, I think, the people that what they really feel. So one of the things that came up was, hey, let's spend $50,000 on this RFP. And I said, you know what, let's just cut it back to 10, because the more I considered it and thought about it, and you listen to public comment, you hear the other supervisors speak, and I'm like, you know, would I spend – five times the money advertising or marketing for something that I already knew the direction that that was the end goal? And I would say, no, I wouldn't spend my money that way. So why would I want to spend the public's money that way? So what I did was I reached out to Todd Jones, who's the president. I think he's called the president of the Reading Chamber of Commerce. He was the former president of the EDC locally. And I said, hey, Todd, So we had a meeting already scheduled, but when we met this week, I said, hey, what do you think about, because I told him, I said, I brought it up during the board meeting about leading this community plan. And I know it's 10 grand and I know it's very low, but I said, don't put, you know, copious amounts of hours and time into it. Look through the RFP, see what are the deliverables that you could deliver on, because ultimately what this five-member board of supervisors wants is we want to hear the public's input as what's important to them as it relates to our strategic plan. And so then we started kicking around all the different companies that we know that do surveys. And I don't mean just like they throw up a survey monkey. I'm talking about companies that do research and heavy surveys for companies like Disney. Well, there's a company locally that does that and works with Disney. Disney's one of their many Fortune 50 clients, from what I understand. There's a couple different organizations that do a lot of outbound calls. I mean, they could do tens of thousands of outbound calls in a day. So we talked about, hey, let's get maybe them on board to see if they could kick in and help the community and, you know, donate some time or say, hey, we want to play a part in this because we want to make the community better. And this is a way to save the taxpayers money and still get the results and income or results and outcome as if it was, you know, $100,000 RFP and everybody's, you know, making their fair wage, which I have no problem as a capitalist, people making their wage they're worth. No problem. But if we can do it for 10 grand, let's do it for 10 grand. And then we had a couple other organizations that we threw out. So this is very unofficial, but Todd Jones and I are collectively reaching out to our networks to see how we can execute this for 10 grand and have the community get the absolute best feedback as it relates to our strategic plan. And at the end of the day, what I want to see is I want to see a strategic plan that's just a few short pages and it's actionable, and everybody from department heads to the community to the elected officials all know what the strategic plan is, instead of having, you know, a 750-page binder that collects dust that has all kinds of cute graphics and a really nice binder, and it doesn't ever get picked up again after it's set. Because there's a lot of organizations that do that. They put it on the coffee table, or they put it on the, you know, in the waiting room or the reception area of their office, and boom, here's our strategic plan. It's a 10-year plan, and there it sits. And you know, maybe some of the stuff gets done, maybe some of it doesn't. But that's not what I see happening for us. I'm really hoping and believing that we're going to move this towards a direction where we have like Nolda Short, maybe Chief Deputy Aaron Bertain and CEO Rickert work on this, because having the financial knowledge to know what we could afford to invest in and what we can actually get across the goal line in a short amount of time. Because the other thing, too, is a strategic plan. I don't think you need to do a strategic plan for 10 years when the board can change every 2 years, where you have, you know, new elected officials coming in, because different people's opinions are going to vary in where they think the direction of the county needs to go. And that's not lost on me. So I want to see something where we can get some really great projects across the line here in the next, you know, 2 to 6 years, 10 years. And I think the medical school and the alternative custody program are two that I really, really want to see move forward. And again, I would love a jail. I would love a jail. I think that time has passed, unless we're going to do a one-plus cent tax that will never sunset to be able to staff and then build that. So that's a lot. I'm throwing a lot out from this last meeting, and I think we'll just keep this kind of going. We had another disruption, which, you know, that's just kind of, you know, I've really realized since I've been in office, there's a lot of really miserable people out there that really have very little to offer in terms of, you know, bringing solutions to problems. And, you know, you will get, you know, politicians or different people to say, hey, you know, if we're more this or we're more that, or we got to be, you know, it's just a bunch of word salad to say, look, like at some point people have to take a stand, like, hey, look, like I can love you and not agree at all with what you're saying. And that's just the fact. At the end of the day, our board meetings exist to get the public's business done, to make sure that the services that we provide through the many departments, you know, nearly 30 departments in the county, are operating at a high rate of efficiency, getting, you know, more permits out, having the time shortened, making sure that the employees still are taken care of, even though they're working, I believe now, at a much quicker pace. I mean, some of the metrics that I'm really looking at as we have the budget hearings coming up is I'm looking at the output of work in the different departments, what they've done, what they've accomplished since at least I've been in office. And some of them, you know, do have new leadership, and some of the variables are similar, some of them aren't. But I'm always going to be looking at what are we getting for what we're paying for. And I will tell you, and I won't say the most time with the sheriff, but I in terms of all the different electeds department heads, but the sheriff, you know, I've seen a couple of the slides or things that he's doing with the budget he has, and he could easily say he's severely underfunded or doesn't have some of the things that really he would want or need. But you look at the metrics and you look at the results he's getting for what he has, it's awesome. And I'm going to be doing that for all the departments. I've just spent more time with the sheriff because it relates to the alternative custody program and understanding, because public safety still is one of my main things. It's just really, really difficult to move some of that forward without being able to write a check for a new jail. So our last meeting, we did have a shutdown. And again, I think that might be the third or fourth in the last year and a half. It may be less. I know when Patrick Jones was chair, I know I believe we had a few as well. But what I'm seeing now is I'm seeing people who I've never met, don't know, who are speaking out in public comments. And I can guarantee you, like, some of these people are paid. And this is why I know, because they're coming up reading statements. And I'll tell you, there's been some detractors that come up. And I'm always super impressed with the ones that can come up and articulate how they feel. And again, I may completely disagree with them, and they may completely not like anything about me or what I stand for, but there is an appreciation there for people that can come up, articulate from the heart how they feel about something, and make a point, stay on topic, and deliver that. And it would shock some people of some of the conversations. And I'm not going to bring this up because I don't want to politicize it, and I don't need to, and it's not fair to the individuals. But I have been having some phenomenal conversations with people lately. That some of you know, some of you have been to coffee. I've shared with a few of you some of the people I've been talking to who are completely politically opposite of me. But we've had great dialogues. We've had great conversations. I will say that one person in particular is actually, I would say, becoming actually a friend, which is a crazy thing to say. And when I've had some of my closest friends that I've shared, just you know, even going to a men's Bible study together, or introducing this person to, you know, friends that I've had literally since I was 4 years old, they say, you know, how do you do that? How can you be so, you know, open? How can you do that? And I said, well, you know, it's really, really easy. Like, you know, whoever is without sin or is blameless, go ahead and cast the first stone. You know, of course, from Scripture, no one picks up that rock. And for me, like, I've made mistakes, and I can forgive and move forward. It just depends on how we want to move forward. And this individual, again, we've had some great, great conversations, and I think that's what has to keep happening. But what we see in public comment right now sometimes is we're seeing people come up that are using it, you know, because I believe there's definitely I won't say a movement, but I'll say a concerted effort to absolutely change the fabric and culture of Shasta County. Like there's no doubt in my mind at this point, because there's no way people that are speaking in public comment are doing the research. Some of these people, not all the people, but some of these people are doing the research, knowing the data, and coming up and clearly articulating their own thoughts. They've been given something, and then they're throwing their own little piece in there. So I want to use that as an example right now. And actually, David, how much time do we have before the break? It says 3.5 minutes. Okay. Let's do this. I want to go over, because I really want to discuss the local media. And it's so hard to say media, because, you know, I have friends or people I've known that have, like, just such high journalistic integrity. I know people that have actually left, you know, different TV stations or different news outlets because they said, look, I just can't be a part of this anymore. Like, it is so bad, and it is so one-sided, and it is such a arm of a propaganda machine that I just can't be a part of it. So they change careers. And I'm not going to out anybody who has a new job, but there's people locally that I have a lot of respect for who have left mainstream media because they just say, this is not what I went to college, or this is not what I wanted to do as a reporter, as a young person, because this is completely separate. And, you know, now everything's about clicks and sound bites and shares and how many views. And it's, you know, I think most of the media is just lazy. They're just flipping lazy. They don't do the work. They put something out. Let's see how many comments they get. And we're gonna take a short break here in a second. And when we come back, I'm gonna play a clip from our last board meeting of a person that you know, came up and went way off topic. We had to shut the meeting down. And I want you to get a chance to hear it. But I'll tell you, you know, at some point, I think you know, everybody who votes needs to come to a board meeting and actually watch what happens in the crowd who the people are, what they're doing, because when somebody screams that, you know, so-and-so, you're not being transparent, and they're wearing a mask and a hat that says, make Palestine great again, I mean, that is just like the most comical thing, but I can't laugh because it's actually sad. And, you know, I have to be on my best behavior, and I'm not always perfect. I'm not really making any comments because one of the people I'm talking to that I was referring to earlier, we kind of challenged each other to be better in certain areas. And one of the areas I was challenged was, hey, just bite your lip. And when people are up there saying what they say, and I've had that advice and I've had that recommendation or prompt before from many people, but this person I've been talking to, it's actually making an impact, because if I can show this person that I'm trying and I can do better, then I think that's how we turn a lot of this stuff around. So when we come back, I'm going to play some clips, and then we're going to get into the lazy media, and we'll have some fun with that. So with that, we'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Get ready to experience an unstoppable force and the youngest record-breaking country star, Gabby Barrett, in the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center on Saturday, June 28th. Saddle up and boogie down to number one hits like The Good One and Pick Me Up. Tickets for this event start at just $40 plus fee. For tickets or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moments at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Helicopter rides, airplane rides, classic cars, and aircraft displays. It's all happening this Father's Day. Aviation Day, Sunday, June 15th, from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Benton Airfield in West Reading. Admission is free and parking is free. Sponsored by the Reading CAA. Come for a great breakfast. Put on by the Mount Shasta 99s from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Adults are $10. Kids from 5 to 12, $5. Kids under 5 are free. Aviation Day, 2025, Father's Day, Benton Airfield.
All right, we are back. Happy Sunday. American flags. Always, I always come back in with that. And thank you to my producer, David, who always has the music queued up and does a phenomenal job in studio keeping this machine rolling along. So before the break, we talked about having playing a clip from the Board of Supervisors meeting this last week. We had to shut the meeting down because we had a person who could not stay on topic. R3 was a medical school presentation from our consultant, Chris Street. And what I'm going to do, I'm just going to set this clip up. The individual spoke for, I don't know, 15, 20 seconds, maybe even closer to 30. I didn't check the exact amount of time, so don't quote me if it wasn't 30 seconds. But they had an interlude or a preamble, so to speak, where they stayed on topic, but then they went right off of it. And they're reading. So it's not like they went off on a tangent. Like, this was very planned. They're going to say a few words about one thing and then quickly jumped over. So I'm going to play this. And this really – the reason I'm going down this road is because, you know, we had a media outlet that, very lazily wants to make something that's not there. And that's fine because I mean, I want people to start really, really digging into media. So my challenge to people out there is, you know, if you're tired of living in a county that many of you have grown up in, born here, lived here for 50, 60, 70 years, and you've seen no evidence in our media of anything that remotely resembles what we grew up in. You know, so if you came here and you came up, you know, Hilltop as a kid and the mall was a big dirt field, or, you know, and let's fast forward it to like the, you know, late 90s and Discovery Village where Jamba Juice and all of that is, or Men's Warehouse, where all that was just a grass field by the side of the freeway. If you remember times like that, back to when news and reporting was at least to some degree without bias, you know, I would say if you're on social media, start sharing stories about old media or our old newspaper clip, you know, clippings of stories they covered, things that were hard hitting, things that were real, things that were investigative journalism, versus the, you know, what we get now, which are sound bites, which are clicks, which are people with, you know, a photocopier, and they print out, they say they're press, so okay, they must be press because they've got a badge, so they order a little clear sleeve on Amazon. Okay, I'm going to get off that topic. I want to get to this. I want to get to this clip, just because I want to set the stage for this, and then we're going to talk a lot about what a limited public forum is to help educate many of you, and some of you already know. But let's go ahead and play this clip.
Supervisor Kellstrom is linked to the Cottonwood Militia. Chairman Cry has been flanked by known militia members on multiple occasions. This is not isolated. It's a pattern. You can dress it up, but these groups are sanitized fronts for authoritarianism. And this board is quietly building power through them. And as I name this, I also must hold space for Gaza, where over 15,000 children have been killed by bombs, starvation. It's tied to it. It is tied to it. It is.
Okay, so what you're seeing right here is we're the individual was talking about the medical school and Chris Street, and then went over to the ROV, and then jumped to Chris Kellstrom and myself, and then started tying in militia stuff. I let it go, and I gave her the chance to bring it back. You got to bring it back. And then it goes, then she starts talking about Gaza. So go ahead and keep playing it.
Connected. Don't cut my mic. This is my time, and I'm reclaiming my time.
R3.
It's connected. Let me finish.
Gaza.
I'm reclaiming my time. Where over 15,000 children have been killed by bombs, starvation, and military violence. The genocide in Palestine is not random. It happens when fascist ideologies go unchecked.
Okay,
when human lives become disposable.
This is your warning.
We say the names.
Stick to R3.
We say their names.
Stick to R3.
Rajab, age 6, shot, and many more. Silence is complicity. Memory is
Stick
resistance.
Stick to R3.
I oppose Chris Street, New California, the Cottonwood Militia, the state of Jefferson, and any group rooted in hate or authoritarianism.
Cutter Mike.
From holding...
Okay, so what we have there, you know, and then some people had talked about now our county council, and this is a whole other component that we could unpack later. Our county council... then we, being at the board of, or being at the city council chambers of Shasta Lake, we're not able to control the mic from the clerk of the board spot or the chair spot like we are able to at the board of supervisors on 1450 Court Street, which we will be back to our next meeting. So the sheriff would then could go down there, but you know we feel it's a lot less intrusive and it's a lot easier for. In this case, the county council go down there and just cut the mic or pull the mic away. Because as our attorney, he knows what's well within the law. So he goes down there, removes the mic. Now, here's the thing, and this is where I really feel like where I really got frustrated with some local media is, you know, I was asked for a quote. I gave a quote that we did not break the Brown Act or violate any First Amendment rights. But, you know, when people – and I'll just – let's just start with this. When people quote the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is, you know, they're just – I'm not even going to just – I don't want to disparage any organization, but here's the thing. When people want to go off about the militia, or in this one article they use quotes about the militia because they're – as if they're not real. But the Second Amendment's very, very clear. If the state thought they could win a case, they would have brought one a long time ago about recognized militias. And, you know, a bunch of people of a certain political ideology will say that the militias became the National Guard. But there's no way the founders would have put militias under the control of that which they feared the most, which is the government. Militias are protected in the state constitution as well. So federally and state-wise, militias are protected. And so for anybody to say anything else is just a complete fabrication and just a fairy tale fantasy that they want to believe that militias aren't real or aren't recognized. So let's get into what the First Amendment and what a limited public forum is, because I think it's important for people to understand, you know, what our roles are, again, in government, is to keep these meetings rolling, get the work done of the people. A lot of the people that come up and complain that we're wasting all this money are the ones that are spending the most time of staffs because we have to clear a room or we have to listen to their diatribe for 2 or 3 minutes. And again, like, I challenge most of these public speakers, and there's a few that just knock it out of the park and do a great job. They bring solutions. They bring thoughts. They bring, you know, and these aren't even people necessarily that I agree with. I mean, let's be honest, right? Like, a broken clock is right twice a day, or a blind squirrel finds a nut. You can find all the sayings you want. There are people that get a lot of things wrong, but they can get something wrong and one or something right. And I'm always very objective when somebody comes up, whether I, you know, have personal feelings one way or another. I will listen to what they say, and the minute they're just up there to scream and yell and rant and rave, I just like, okay. And, you know, they're not bringing anything new, so this is same old, same old. But when somebody comes up and says, hey, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? Because when you look back on people that have brought issues up to the Board of Supervisors, we have executed and worked really hard for those outcomes. And I'm always going to go back to the notary one, where I went to Kathy Darling Allen and Joanna Franciscat at the time and said, hey, like, these notary fees are off. Help me out. And they said, oh, no, they're not. They don't know what they're talking about. Well, Nolde Short did a little research project on it and found that we were 40% charging people too much. So when you bring something forth in public comment, I'll just tell you, I as one supervisor, and I'm sure the others do it as well, I take your comments seriously, especially when you're trying to bring something up that you want us to look into. Okay, getting back to the limited public forum. And it is a designated public forum where the government limits access to specific groups or types of speech, but viewpoint discrimination is still prohibited. Unlike traditional public forums where virtually all speech is permitted, limited public forums can have content-based restrictions as long as they are reasonable and viewpoint neutral. The government intentionally creates a forum and sets specific limitations on who can use it and for what purposes. The government can restrict speech based on subject matter or speaker as long as it's reasonable and related to the forum's purpose. An example would be like an item currently being discussed on the agenda. Like in this case, it was R3. R3, you got to stick to R3. Anything pertaining to R3 is up for discussion. Anything you want surrounding that topic, go for it. It's your time. So anyway, when the government creates a limited public forum, it can impose viewpoint neutral content restrictions so long as they are reasonable in light of the forum's purpose. For public comment periods, such as restrictions might include limiting speakers to the subject at hand or the amount of time they have to speak. The government body also can prevent disruptive conduct, such as speaking out of turn or beyond the allocated time limit, and set a reasonable limit on the number of speakers, as long as the government is not excluding particular speakers of their views. So we can change how much time, as long as everybody gets the same amount of time. We can actually say, hey, we're only going to take 5 speakers. So the first 5 speakers in queue are going to be the ones to speak. Everybody else, you know, sorry. And we don't do that in Shasta County. I mean, we in the county have the most public comment, and I'm not saying we have just the most engagement. I'm saying we allow the most public comment, I believe, of any county of the 58 counties in California. I mean, many people, when I go to CSAC or RCRC, they say, you know, we had that problem. Why don't you just take 5 speakers for each item and just cut it at that? And I say, yeah, I don't really want to do that. Like, it would make our meetings easier. It would make it a lot better, but that's not the point. The point is to hear the public and give them that opportunity to speak. Problem is we have a lot of people that come up and speak that don't bring solutions. They just rant and rave. But if they rant and rave about the item, hey, that's their God-given right, and they get to do that. And that's why I brought public comment back to the beginning, is because I think the people deserve and are owed the ability to speak their mind to their elected officials. I mean, anyway, so – you know, when government bodies establish public comment periods, they must adhere to fundamental First Amendment principles. They cannot shut down or silence speakers simply because they offer a disfavored viewpoint or criticize government officials. The essence of a free society is that members of the public have the ability to voice their opinions, including ones critical of government officials. Now, I do my coffees on Fridays. And this past Friday was my last one for the summer. I tend to take the summers off because my kids are doing different things, and I don't want my wife having to be the chauffeur every single day of the week. So I leave my schedules open on Friday. Doesn't mean I'm not still doing some public type of things, or we won't do just all of a sudden some type of, you know, meeting or town hall. We did a couple of those last year, barbecues, et cetera. So be looking on the Facebook page for that. But I do the coffees is because people can come and have the discussion with me that doesn't have to last 3 minutes or 2 minutes. And that's why I do it. I do it for the public feedback or access to me. And I still don't believe there's another public official out there of any kind in this county anyway, that is accessible as I am publicly in the forum that I am, where people can come and have those discussions. I mean, a lot of other elected officials think I'm crazy. They said, why would you subject yourself to that? And I said, well, when I got into it, I kind of made that promise to the voters and to myself that I was going to be transparent. I was going to be accessible, and I've done that. So anyway, the California government code allows for the body, that's the board, to enforce reasonable rules of decorum and the intent of the meeting to conduct government's business, because conducting government's business is the purpose for the meeting. Members of the public, you know, they can protest outside the meeting. However, they may not disrupt the meeting in violation of California Government Code or Penal Code Section 403. So you can rant and rave and stomp and you know, scream and whistle and do all that stuff you want outside. You can't do it in the meeting because we have to do the public's work, and we can't do that if people are acting or behaving that way. So, you know, keeping a speaker to the item on the agenda is not viewpoint restriction, but it is instead just the enforcement of reasonable restrictions required to allow the public bodies to conduct orderly business. And that's, you know, you would think that's common sense, but people need to hear that. They need to understand that because, you know, they want to make things up that we're suppressing people's First Amendment's rights, or we're taking away their freedom of speech, and it's comical. Do the work, people. Understand the law. Within a traditional public forum, very few restrictions upon speech are permissible. Within a limited public forum, adherence to content-neutral rule is permissible and under California law. Failure to comply, which results in a disruption of a public meeting, is unlawful. You know, although one of these local I'm going to call it a blog. I mean, it's a blog. Although one of these local blogs, you know, they claim county staff, you know, violated the law, you know, the speaker's denial to comply and the disruption of the public meeting was the violation, or was the law violated at our board meeting on May 27th. I mean, as chair, I have an obligation to maintain control of the meeting and allow the board and the staff to complete the business of the people. That's my job. And, The reality is there are people that all they want to do is disrupt, destroy, slow down. I mean, you know, if this individual actually cared about the children of Gaza, they would probably be on a plane over there doing something about it, or they wouldn't be coming to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors meeting and pleading that case, because that is not something that is going to help the plight of the people that they say they're trying to help. And you know, I'm getting tired of people using our county and our county's meetings to push things of this nature that aren't actually working towards making things better. And again, so at some point this summer, I'm going to have a few people on this show that we've had, you know, I won't even say public disagreements with. They've just been maybe big, very outspoken critics for whatever reason. And, you know, when there's common ground, when there's really truly common ground and somebody really tries and wants to make things better, I'm always going to be the first to say, hey, look, let's put whatever happened in the past, and let's row forward. But at the same time, you know, you've heard that expression, you know, burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me. And why is it shame on me? Well, it's shame on me because I've allowed it to happen again. However, I do understand that, you know, people can make mistakes. People can have, you know, a different direction, and they can have a change of heart, or they can say, hey, you know, I truly want to just lay down what's happened in the past, and I really want to make things better. Because, again, I said this in my campaign back in 2022. We don't have to agree, but we got to get along. And what I realized is there are people in this community that have no desire to get along. And also what happens is people will say, you know, they only look at a relationship. Like, if you're not doing what I want, or you're not leaning the way I lean, or you're not changing your opinions to fit mine, then you're just not collaborative, or you're not kind, or you don't have a heart. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Like, why can't I have the convictions that I have? Because, you know, what's happened in our society over a great period of time, many people, and this is where I think, you know, the soccer moms, the mama bears and all of that stuff kind of really came up during COVID, was because they saw what was happening to their kids. And so then you had all these groups that came out of moms just saying, enough, enough. And, you know, and I'm thankful for all the people that have, you know, risen up, so to speak, and are adamant about what they feel, and they're adamant about their, I don't want to say their beliefs, because I respect everybody's beliefs. My biggest comment has always been, you know, don't try and make what you believe your reality my reality. That's one thing. Like, you know, whatever you want to call yourself, whoever you're sleeping with, like, hey, that's on you. You do me. That's fine. Just don't expect me to say that I condone it, or I think it's the right way, or whatever. Like, you do you, I'll do me. That's fine. But here's the other thing. Don't try and get me to pay for it. Like, I don't want to pay for it. I don't want to pay for somebody else's ideology and craziness, because it's another social program that's spun up for it. You know, I have a lot of conversations with people at, you know, gas stations, at, you know, restaurants. I'm trying to do less of them at restaurants now, because a lot of times if I'm there with somebody, I don't want to spend, you know, the majority of my time, you know, talking to somebody, but I'll always make the appointment. And I don't want to see the political divide deepen, but I don't have the answers. I don't have the answers to say, at what point, if someone doesn't, you know, if you don't agree with somebody, they just become more and more angry. And I don't have the answer to that. So if you have the answer to that, or what that looks like, or what, you know, how you handle it, by all means, message me, call me, email me. You can email me at kcry@shastacounty.gov. I would love to hear your input on how you handle, or what you think is the best practice forward when you're talking with somebody and they become, you know, very angry or irate that you can't see things their way. Like, I can have empathy. I can hear somebody. I can understand what they're saying. That doesn't mean I have to agree with it. And I think most people just want to be heard. But there are a group of people that, bottom line, if you don't feel the way they feel, then you're just the enemy. And that's where we're going, or that's where we are. And that's really, really sad. But those are the people that I try and spend less and less time with, or I don't even, you know, some people, if they're just going to email, I don't even read their emails anymore. Like, what's the point? Like, what's the point? You've lost that. Like, I'm an elected official. I'm going to listen. But when people say, you know, you work for us and you're going to do X, Y, and Z, it's like, well, I kind of work for myself too, because I do pay taxes and I do represent everybody, whether they're in my district or not. But there comes a point where you just say, look, like, this is crazy. Like, you're not even trying to work towards a solution. So, you know, one of the things that I've seen, like I said, with media is going farther off the reservation, farther off the deep end of not even trying to be somewhat impartial. And I think what you're going to see between now, mark my words, between now and the election of 2026, the midterms, whether that be the local midterms in June, or you're talking about the midterms in November of 2026, you're going to see the media really double down locally and probably across the nation about narratives that they really want to spin. Because I'll tell you, there's a lot happening. And when you talk about nationally, whether it's, you know, tariffs, which we're going to be talking about, we're going to be talking a lot about, I'm sure, voting reform, and talking about things like Canada becoming the 51st state. You know, this is where that political class, that politically that political elite class that's been really running things probably for far longer than I could even ever expect. But even here locally, a lot of that stuff's getting dismantled. Like we're seeing now, like I've had department heads who have retired or even are department heads from other counties or cities that have reached out to me and said, look, man, they said my career would have probably been extended had this board been there when I was there, because this is what I faced when I was at the county or I was at the city or when I was in an area of California where they live here now. But they're just sharing, you know, how I guess you'd say incestuous some of this stuff is. And, you know, what I've really done, too, is I've really looked back, and I've tried to. I haven't spent a ton of time, but I look back at, you know, you've had a lot of officials in Shasta County who have been in office a really, really long time. And you start to see, you know, what they accomplished, what they did. And it was a very different time. And I admit that, pre-COVID versus post-COVID. But, you know, I'm very, and I hate to use the word proud, but I'm very happy with the 2.5 years that I'd been on this board and the amount of regular calendar items and even consent items that we're getting through. We're getting, we're having bigger agendas, getting more done, and our staff across the board is doing more with almost less, because when you look at like inflation and the cost of running these departments, you know, they're not necessarily keeping up with inflation. And our department heads right now are absolutely, like, by and large, they're killing it. We're getting so much done. And this is how, again, if you want to verify this, go back and look at it. Look at how many regular calendar items we have, how we're doing it. Look at how we're starting to lessen the number of times you see on the agenda come up, retroactive contract. So what does that mean? Well, that means our county council's office and our department heads are getting things lined up and to the board earlier now than they used to. And why is that? Well, I think we have leadership in place in various capacities across the county where, you know, we're demanding more. And when I say we, I'm not saying me personally. I'm just saying department heads are saying, hey, this is how we've done it in the past. This is how we're going to do it going forward. And the people that are jumping on board are killing it, and they're doing a great job. And the people that just say, hey, this is a pace of work that I just can't keep up with, I'm not interested in, they put up a resistance, or they say, I don't want to do that. And then so, you know, those department heads have to make decisions on, you know, who is best to be in those offices, in those seats that deliver so many important services for the people of the county. You know, we only have a couple minutes left, so I do want to close talking a little bit about the budget hearings coming up. If you didn't know, on June 9th, we're going to have our next board meeting. It's a Monday. That's going to be back at the board chambers. And then June 10th kicks off the budget hearings. And the budget hearings right now are scheduled to go June 10th, 11th, and 12th. And then they could go to the 13th, which is Friday the 13th. But, you know, right now they're scheduled to last 3 days. And I would encourage people, download that, all that budget information and start pouring through it. Pick a department. Maybe it's the Ag. Maybe it's HHSA. Maybe it's support services. Maybe it's the Sheriff's Department, the DA, the public defender. You know, find a department that you really want to study and understand. Bring some questions. Bring some solutions. I would welcome that. But here's the thing. I can almost guarantee you, because last year didn't happen and the year before it didn't happen, although the year before, the very first year, I wasn't it was, you know, I'll just admit it was pretty much a blur when you're going through that budget hearing. And, of course, I was in the beginning stages of the failed recall. But last year I had a much better grasp going in of the process, even though I was chair for the first time. At least Chair Jones stretched it to, you know, it was like a full day. I stretched it to a week. This is going to be a week again. But this year I would challenge people to come out, pick a department, and go through the budget and bring some solutions, because you'll see, you know, 30 public commenters who want to get up and rant and rave about stuff. But if they really, really wanted to make a difference, they would bring some items forward as it relates to the budget, because that's actually things that do impact many of you in the county. So if you come to public, or if you come to the board meetings normally, or and you're one of the frequent flyers, I call them, that are at the board meeting speaking, you know, I challenge you, download the budget, write some questions down, bring some solutions, and you will 100% get credit for that, because If you want to make a difference, you don't have to be an elected official. You don't have to work for the county. You don't have to be anything more than a concerned citizen that says, hey, I want to give back to my community. I want to help. I want to move it forward. What do I have to do and that would be an example. You could actually dig into the budget, find a department, find a line item, bring up some great questions, and have the dialogue with the supervisors about making this county the freest, most affordable, best place to live, which I already believe it is. So with that, we're going to wrap up the show. I can't tell you how much I appreciate how many of you listen live every Sunday morning. And then I know many of you listen to the replay, and you can always get those at votekevincry.com. Thanks for spending your Sunday morning with me, and have a great, great week.
KCNR.